Well, hello, hello, guys. And you're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I couldn't be more excited to welcome the amazing Brent Saunders. So welcome, Brent.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you for coming all the way to Pasadena. So, and for those of you who don't know who Brent Saunders is, I don't know who doesn't know, but he's the CEO of Allergan, chairman of Allergan. And Allergan, of course, is our amazing company that makes Botox, Juvederm, Kybella, breast implants, all the amazing products, many pharmaceutical products too.
That's right.
So, one of my favorite products.
Which one?
Well, Botox is one of my favorite products.
It's one of my favorite products too.
Yeah, I was just joking with Josh today. All I want for Christmas is some botulinum toxin. Right?
I hope everybody's saying that today.
It's a great gift. It's the gift of rejuvenation, prevention. It's kind of an incredible gift.
It is, and people feel better about themselves when they do it, so it's a win-win.
Yeah, and did you ever think, starting out as a young person in your 20s, that you'd be working in this industry, in the aesthetics and beauty and cosmetic industry?
I didn't. I always had a feeling I'd be in healthcare because I come from a family of healthcare people, but never thought I would be in medical aesthetics or CEO of a Fortune 100 company.
Yes, and such a great CEO, and you've been like CEO of several different companies. So what has been your trajectory so far?
Yeah, so when I graduated school, I did not go to medical school like you and do all the training and surgical training, but I went to law school, and then I went to business school, and then I went into consulting, and I became a partner at Pricewaterhouse Consulting. And from there, I went to a company called Shearing Plow that many people know perhaps from Claritin. That was probably the most biggest brand we had. And I worked my way up there over several years to become president of the company. And ultimately, it was acquired by Merck, and I was made without a job. And so I went on to become CEO of a company called Bausch & Lomb, which is a health
which we've all heard of, yes.
Yep, eye care company.
Yeah.
And that ultimately got acquired by Valeant. So you see the trend emerging, right? Wherever I go.
Yes, mergers and acquisitions. So you've been at the cusp of many really amazing transitions with all the mergers and acquisitions.
Right, and then I went to a company as CEO and chairman at Forest Labs in New York, which is predominantly a neurological company, Alzheimer's and psychiatric diseases. And I merged that with a company called Actavis.
Right, and then Actavis.
And then Actavis bought Allergan about 4 years ago, and we changed the name of the entire company back to Allergan.
Perfect.
Yes.
Wow, that's
so
quite
a
that's
journey.
Quite a journey. Yeah, very fast-paced last 4 or 5 years that you've had there.
Yes, it's been a lot of, probably if you add it all up, it's somewhere in the order of magnitude of $250 billion worth of M&A.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So how does someone who's so high-powered like yourself stay motivated? Like when you've done such big deals with so many big dollars taking place in transactions, like what do you have to get for the next big deal? Like, do you have to have a $500 billion transaction to, like, top what you've been doing already?
Yeah, well, you've heard the expression, size doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Size doesn't matter in M&A either, in my opinion. I think that really...
Size doesn't matter. Do women say that still? Just kidding. Go ahead.
Well, I just said it's something that people say. I don't know what they say it for, but they
I was like,
say
wait.
It for different things. But size in M&A, it doesn't matter. What gets me excited about M&A is strategic fit, right? So why does putting one plus one together equal something more than two? What benefit does, do you have a bigger distribution network? Do you get something, some synergy? For example, when we bought LifeCell at Allergan, and we did that primarily to get the Alloderm for breast reconstruction. We already sold breast implants, but now a reconstructive plastic surgeon can do a full, you know, Allergan, if you will, procedure. And that has been a win for our customers. It's been a win for Allergan, and it's certainly helped us create a better market for reconstructive breast surgery.
So building a bigger platform that kind of horizontally can grow as opposed to just vertically. Yeah, that's a great philosophy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times people who are high-powered individuals like yourself, like, it's not really about the destination. It's about the journey and the little challenges and the everyday wins. Is that, does that sound true?
I think that's right. You know, what motivates me to get up every day is just to have some sort of impact. And I think there's this, I think you're right, there's this misperception that that impact has to be something big because you run a big company or you have a big job. But the reality is, you know, if I could touch an employee and make their day a little bit better, or if a patient in one of our therapeutic areas has benefited over something we've done because we got a medicine to them in the right spot, or on the aesthetic side of our business that we helped a practice grow or do something better, that to me is satisfaction for the day.
Yeah, that's game changing. I think I agree too. As a this year, I've seen a ton of transition in my job, and in my practice has grown a lot. Just starting this podcast, in just a few short episodes, we've had like 5,000 downloads and listeners, and from all across the world. And growing social media and Instagram has been phenomenal. How has social media impacted you and your industry?
I try to learn from you.
Yes, you just recently, your Instagram is getting really good.
I'm trying. So look, for me, you know, social media is becoming a necessity. And so a great example, I was talking to some of our sales manager earlier today in Los Angeles, and I said, the way I think about social media is I like to be out with customers. I like to visit with customers. I like to understand their perspective on our industry, trends, our products, the science, whatever it may be. And I spend a lot of time visiting customers all over the world, from China to Germany to the U.S. to Pasadena. But with Instagram, I can spend 20 minutes going from my one hotel to the other hotel this morning, and I can sort it. Virtually visit 1,000 customers in the span of 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That is so efficient. And as you know, in the particularly medical aesthetics, Instagram has really taken off. And so there are a lot of really great accounts with great content. And I see what people are doing with our products, what they're doing with competitors' products, what they're doing in their practice, the procedures they're doing, how they're thinking about different things. And that market intelligence is so important to me. Plus, I can connect. I feel like I know what you did all month because I follow you on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though you and I haven't spoken. So
I know. I've seen your golf tournaments and your fundraisers. And it's very interesting how you have a window in everybody's life. And, you know, you may not get it every day, but enough that you keep in touch. And
yeah, so I think it's going to become a necessity. And my sense is, you know, smart business people will figure out how to use Instagram more soon. But we'll see.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think if you're not already on social media channels and you are in any industry, in any profession or business, like, you're really missing out. It's free. It's amazing access to customers. And like you said, for you guys, it's incredible research.
Absolutely. And you know, for me, I feel so much more connected to our customers all over the world because I visit with them in small doses. Every day through their social media.
And it's actually real-time feedback, too, on what patients want. So I really like that aspect of being able to, it's almost instant marketing. Like, I never went to business school. However, this year I've learned to master marketing, I feel like.
Well, you do a good job. You're one of the
accounts
I would put up there as the top social media accounts.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say that. And I work really hard at it. And I know you work so hard at your job, too. I have three daughters, and you have
two daughters.
So in this industry, I'm always faced with this idea, if I want to bring people up, I want women to feel great about themselves. I don't want my daughters to grow up feeling like they have to master this unachievable beauty that we promote in our industry. What do you think of that?
Yeah, look, I think that's right. To me, it's not just about beauty. It's about self-confidence. It's about having people feel good about themselves. So one of my passions is mental health, as an example, and Allergan has a very large presence in mental health, probably equal in size to what we have in medical aesthetics. And so, you know, I spend a lot of time thinking about some of the epidemics we see around the world in mental health, and one of the common traits is people's low self-esteem, low self-confidence. And I think in a large part, people want to seek medical aesthetic intervention or help to help build their confidence. And I think that's wonderful. If it works for them, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, as you know. It's, so to me, it's less about beauty. It's more about feeling confident, feeling good, waking up and being excited about your day. And if a small piece of that is a product or intervention that you do as a physician, that's just good for the world. That's good for each of us.
I would definitely agree. And I think it has a lot to do with self-maintenance, too, and self-care. And that's what I try and impress on my daughters anyway, that, you know, you're going to live to be 80. You can't drive a car for 80 years and not put maintenance into your car or your vehicle for your life. Your body is your vehicle, right? So I want them to be in this attitude of, yes, a couple times a year, I'm going to go take time, spend, you know, take care of my face and maintain my beauty. It's so important to, like, look good when you look in the mirror and feel good about what you're seeing reflected back at you.
Right. And look, I think age is obviously a reality. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
But being old is a choice.
That's right.
And, you know, if you're comfortable and you feel young and you exercise and you maintain your body and your mind and your soul, then you're going to enjoy that journey a whole lot longer than if
right.
you don't. And so I think all these things in balance are a positive. You just have to find the right balance for you, that works for you. And no one should be able to tell you what's right or wrong. It's only what's right for you.
Exactly. You have to feel comfortable to dive into this for yourself and do it for the right reasons.
That's right.
For sure. I think one interesting thing that when I met you for dinner earlier this year, you brought up this concept that we've only touched 5% of the cosmetic aesthetic market that's out there so far. And I really love the notion that you felt that all of the aesthetic companies out there don't need to compete with each other. We need to just understand that there's so much more out there we can do on all avenues to bring more patients in.
Right. Well, if you look at the aesthetic marketplace, it's massive and it's growing, and growing double digits in every market in the world that I can imagine. And so as you think about the, you know, three or four truly global businesses and then the several, you know, U.S. or European-based businesses that are in medical aesthetics, there's no reason we shouldn't all have the same goal of expanding the market.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that we need to compete against each other to steal each other's market share or to make somebody else's product not look as good relative to yours makes very little sense to me. I think that's very short-sighted.
Yeah.
I think that the real opportunity for everybody in this space is to collaborate to grow the market.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do that, I think there'll be plenty of opportunity for everybody, every company, every physician,
mm-hmm.
every injector, every surgeon, to do what they need to do in their practice, their business. But to go after each other and as you know, in this industry, there's some vicious attacks.
It's very cutthroat. Yeah. So I
do
love that.
I
love the fact that you sort of like took away the resistance. Like, this is not about us competing with each other. This is just broadening the field for everybody. And it makes it better for all consumers, frankly, too.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. There's such an opportunity to expand this market. And yet there's still so many concerns about, you know, people getting off the fence to actually seek intervention or help, and the worry is, I don't know what I'm going to look like, or I feel like I'm going to have a frozen face, or you probably have
yes.
heard it all. There's no reason for competitors to use that as a means to scare somebody out of the market or to use their product over another. We should all
mm-hmm.
say, look, this is about making sure that there's high quality products with high quality trained providers doing high quality work. That's the win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Maybe consumers don't know, but in the next 5 years, there's going to be a lot of different versions of the original Botox coming to market. How do you think that's going to change the whole scenario for us?
Yeah, I don't actually think it's going to have that big of a change. And the reason I say that is you can go outside the United States and there are a variety of different neurotoxins available, and in some markets there are dozens and dozens of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've already kind of seen the future because it exists everywhere else in the world.
Yeah, Europe and every place is ahead of us.
Yeah, and go to Asia, there are, you know, markets that
yeah.
have 20 or 30 different toxins on the market, like Korea. And so we know what that looks like, and Botox remains the gold standard for wrinkle reducers everywhere in the world, but there's plenty of room for other ones. And, you know, generally, I think offices want to offer choice. I don't know how you
mm-hmm.
feel about it, but, you know, you want to have Coke and Pepsi.
That's exactly how I feel when I explain things to patients.
Yeah.
I have about three choices in my office, and I think the vast majority of doctors are probably going to keep about two or three choices in their office, right?
I think that's
nobody
right.
wants six different things in the fridge.
Yeah.
I don't.
I don't think people want five or six in the fridge. We've not seen that in any market in the world where there are those opportunities. But you know, the thing I always worry about is each one is got a little different technique or a little different reconstitution, and so we just want to make sure that if you're going to stock multiple yes. products that the training is also provided for the staff in particular.
Definitely, definitely. But I think people, injectors and patients, will come up with their favorites. I love the idea that you had of coming out with a short-acting Botox for patients who are sort of nervous and want to just try something that may not be too long-acting. Like, talk about that a little.
Yeah, right. So we're working on a fast-acting, short-duration toxin. It's actually a botulinum toxin E, so it's a different strain. And the idea there is really twofold. One is, for people naive to toxin who have never had Botox and are worried about the 3 or 4 month effect of it,
yeah,
they can try this and it lasts, let's say, a week or two, and then they can decide if they want to go into Botox or not. The other opportunity there is some people, and you probably see this, come in and say, oh my gosh, I've got to be at a wedding on Saturday and it's Thursday. And as we know, it takes a few days for some of these toxins to fully kick in. This toxin kicks in very quickly, generally within a day, we believe. And so it could also be a special event toxin, and then that person could come back for their normal, regular treatment.
For the procrastinator. That would be for me.
Right.
Definitely. One of your initiatives this year has been to start Spotlight. And I think that's such a great idea. For those of you who don't know, Spotlight is sort of your way to introduce aesthetics to the beauty industry and the beauty market, and you're profiling different beauty editors, doctors, and just prominent people out there in the media and talking about what do they do to maintain themselves, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
How's off to a great start. So,
how's it gone over so far with Spotlight?
It launched about 2 or 3 months ago, and I believe we're up to several hundred thousand people engaged in it on a regular basis. And, you know, I don't know all the data, but early look says it could be among one of the fastest growing beauty sites ever. So we have still a lot of work to do. It's still in its infancy, so I don't want to get too ahead of it. But the start looks very promising.
It's nice. It's nice that it's unbranded. It's nice that it's open to all patients. And it really just kind of puts everything out there. Like, this is what I do with my makeup, with my skincare, with my injectables. And I am someone who's completely open and frank and honest about what I do. I don't filter it at all. Like, I want patients to know, yes, I do Botox. I have a little filler in my cheeks, a little in my lips.
Right.
You too, right?
What
have you tried?
Yeah, I have no problem. I'll answer that, but I just want to say one thing if I can.
Of course.
I think what's amazing about Spotlight, that people still don't believe when I talk about it, because we funded it, it was very expensive to get it started, is that what you said, it's unbranded.
Right.
You will never see the word Botox or Juvederm or CoolScoping or Hybella on that site. And the point is, we wanted to do this for the industry to expand and make the industry, to demystify, if you will, the medical aesthetics industry. And so I think, going back to my point about competition, if people are looking for actions speak louder than words, the fact that we're doing that as unbranded, I think really does put the marker down that says we are here to help expand the market. Whether we'll do it or not remains to be seen.
Right.
Whether we're successful or not remains to be seen. But here's a multi-million dollar commitment, you know, order of magnitude, hundreds of million dollar commitment to to try to make something that will help build this market for everybody.
Well, that's great. You're in a leadership position to help cultivate how all of these industry, you know, companies think. So I like that you did that.
Yeah. So back to my routine.
Yeah. What have you tried? Everybody wants to know, how does a CEO stay young and handsome?
Yeah. So I think, to be fair, the most important thing that I've done, because I get a lot of comments, people say, oh, you look so much younger today than you did. Well, first of all,
did look up some of your older pictures, and we think you've had a really nice glow up.
Yeah. Well, I think the most important thing I did was lose about 25 pounds and add about 10 pounds or 15 pounds of muscle.
Great.
So I work out every day. And so I think that probably was the most impactful in terms of you know, what I look like. I think the other thing is, I do a daily skincare routine. And I think you're right, dead right about maintenance and maintaining the old car, the old body.
Yes.
You need to do something for your skin daily. And the younger you start, the probably the better. And I know you have a skincare line, we have a skincare line, and so, you know, you have to find the right products and talk to your doctor about the right products. But I think having a daily routine, and mine is SkinMedica and the TNS and HA5 and a retinoid, but that's what I do every day, and I do that twice a day. In terms of injectables, I've had a little Botox, and I had a little Voluma on my cheeks.
Nice.
And I do Botox maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah.
I probably should do it more.
Let's see. Raise your brows. Yes. All right. Yeah, you're ready. We could do a little.
All right.
Yeah. I have it. It's always fully stocked with Botox. I think it's great that you take care of your skin. Most guys don't. I mean, it's really rare for guys to put on moisturizer. So there's a whole other industry to tap into as far as like the other 50% of the population and men that are not taking care of their skin. And they come into my office, but they don't want to be on my Instagram videos. So, you know, I would say it's about 80% women, about 20% men. That's roughly what it is in the industry, right? As far as
customers. So I think for injectables, it's about 90-10. Mm-hmm. For all other aesthetic intervention, like colonoscoping or hair removal or other things like that, it's 80-20.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a whole role to bring men into this, too.
There is. And, you know, I think the other thing men tend to be more stubborn on is SPF.
Oh, yes.
And nothing's worse, as you know, for your skin than the sun.
Yeah, 90% of aging caused by the sun. That's right. A big number, 90%.
Yeah.
Going forward with your other initiatives, you have also started something called Project Moonwalker. What is that?
So Project Moonwalker is a way to help Allergan, which is a 65, 70-year-old company.
Really? It's not
old. Move into the modern digital era.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did is we created a group. We based them in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
These are people from generally outside the pharmaceutical industry that have really strong digital and digital marketing background. So these are data scientists, digital marketers, and folks with those types of backgrounds. And the woman we brought on to lead it came from outside our industry. She was the founder of Gilt Group. And so very non-traditional hire for a biopharmaceutical company or medical aesthetics company. And really what we're trying to do is launch ventures like Spotlight. We're going to launch another one called Reggie, which will be a beauty on demand service. It will start in New York City, but it will roll out to LA and Chicago and other places.
Well, what's beauty on demand?
So it will be a curated beauty on demand. So we know that people today spend on average about $3,500 on beauty. That's the average. So that means that people spend a lot more and a lot less.
Yeah.
And what we want to do is create a service that's curated for people who want to get the blowouts or the facials.
So you can order that
or whatever, and let them earn points by going through our curated on-demand service. They can book it right through our service.
Oh, I see.
And then introduce them to medical aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
So again, trying to create the expansion opportunity for the whole market.
So dry bar that comes to your house, or you know,
right.
Makeup squad.
So this isn't about aesthetics at home.
Okay.
This is about accessing the beauty market as a gateway to getting people into the offices.
I see.
So everything we do at Allergan is we always put our customers front and center. Our goal is to support our practices, our providers. And so here the idea is to try to get people who aren't coming into their offices to come into their office.
Right.
Or give them a little push on the shoulder or the nudge to come into the office. So we're trying to figure out different ways. Some will work, some won't.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't try, you don't know.
That's true. Yeah. I think talking to my patients, the things they ask most for are longer acting Botox, of course, and maybe bigger vials of Kybella. Latisse for the hair, right? To grow more hair.
Right.
What are some interesting things in the pipeline that you guys are working on that you can talk about? I know you're trying to get FDA approval for masseter Botox. I think that's an awesome treatment.
Emplatysma.
So for facial slimming.
And for neck bands, yeah.
Yeah, and the neck bands. The platysma are those bands that pop up when you strain and lift weights and stuff. So it's interesting that, you know, things start first in the clinician's office and then you guys see the potential and then take it and run with it.
Well, the issue also is, you know, Botox is the only neurotoxin that has indications beyond the glabella or the 11 line above your nose. And the reason we invest in getting those FDA indications is then we can do training.
Right.
If you don't have the FDA indication, it's illegal or off-label to do training.
And so advertising.
It's important. Mm-hmm. But advertising for the different areas is less important. It really is about being able to invest in the training.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we pursue those additional indications. And those are big investments. In terms of the future, I think it's incredibly bright. You know, when I look at our investment in research, just in medical aesthetics, put aside all the therapeutic research we do for diseases like Alzheimer's or depression, we will spend about $1 billion over the next 5 years in medical aesthetic R&D.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's more than all the industry combined times some number, two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think about the pipeline, I think about not only the short-acting, fast-acting toxin we talked about, I think about longer-acting toxins
mm-hmm.
that will be not through increasing dose, but by actually having a longer-acting toxin. We have two really interesting programs. We'll have some changes in the way for the office staff, like pre-filled syringes.
Hmm.
We'll have liquid toxins. We'll have functional fillers, so fillers that not only, like Juvederm or Vicross, that not only lift and volumize, but also improve elastin or collagen in the skin
nice.
That are biologically active. We'll potentially have full body fillers. We'll have new ways of doing cool scoping with different toning and tightening technologies. And so, you know, across every dimension of the portfolio, there's new product flow and new innovation coming.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Yeah.
How do you foresee your daughter's going into this?
You know, my daughter,
like a little baby Botox, a little teeny lip injection.
You know, my kids.
I
have
ask
been
myself
around
that
it, yeah.
all the time. My daughter always says she wants to do an injection, rhinoplasty, because she hates her nose. And I say, come on in. And then she's like, I have to. She runs at the sight of a needle. But
yeah, so both my daughters don't particularly like needles, so I'm not sure I have to worry. But what I have, you know, they're 18 and 16, and you know, my goal is just to teach them to be self-confident and appreciate who they are.
Yes.
But the one thing I do teach them at this age is skincare. So having a good regimen, and in particular sunscreen.
Yeah.
And I really do. I'm like the police when it comes to
good
being in the sun
you.
With them.
Yeah.
So teaching them good
vitamin
skin
C
hygiene,
starting
you
in
will.
Your 20s.
Yeah,
sunscreen for everybody. Retin-A starting in your 30s. That's kind of my regimen too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And then I also worry sometimes that as we get more and more into the industry and the space, that Botox is going to become boring and lose its sexy. It's going to be like I'm going in for my dental cleaning. Every 6 months I got to get this and I got to get, you know. How do we prevent that? How do we keep it sexy so it's not just maintenance and not just, you know. It's
yeah,
important.
I think
it's
I think
the
that's
beauty.
Multifactorial. And it's a good point. I haven't given a lot of thought, but it's a great question. Look, I think we have to keep the branding exciting and edgy and relevant. We have to continue to look for different ways to use it. We have to continue to improve upon the product. And then, you know, as someone who's a provider and injector, you know, you have to make the it more experience-based, right?
Yeah.
So when they come into your office, it can't just feel like a clinical
right.
outcome. It has to feel like an experience, a fun
It does.
Important experience. I know you do that, but
yeah.
but for any other provider or injector listening, I think selling a product is going to go away very quickly. Selling
mm-hmm.
a unit, a syringe, we are all together, you know, the whole industry are going to have to really sell an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that experience is going to have to be hip and fun and relevant.
Yes, and you got to
come in. Because that's what millennials want. They want an experience.
It's got to be part of, you have to be part of a community, too, where you
that's
don't
right.
just go to an office. You, like, have a group of women and friends and colleagues who think like you. And, yeah, it's got to be fun. I definitely
yeah.
agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so. You came up with a social contract for your pharmacologic products out there. Is there ever going to be a beauty contract?
Maybe. I mean, so
that was very pioneering, by the way. I really like that social
yeah.
contract.
And just for those that don't know much about Allergan, rough numbers, we're about 25% medical aesthetics, 75% regular biopharma therapeutic medicines.
Yeah.
And so for that 75%, we were the first company a couple years ago to commit to not taking price increases and to limit our net price increases to in or around inflation, the best we could estimate inflation. So, for example, this calendar year, our price increases is somewhere between 0 and 1%.
Mm-hmm.
In our therapeutic medicines. And I think making sure medicines are affordable and accessible for patients is also an important part of our mission. The flip side is we also have to earn a return because R&D is very
mm-hmm.
expensive. And and looking for cures and treatments for unmet medical need is very risky. Mm-hmm. And so it's a balancing act, but clearly we have to pay more attention to affordability and accessibility of medicine. Mm-hmm. And so do we do a beauty contract? I'll negotiate with you. What do you want in the beauty contract?
I want to see what all consumers want to see, that the prices stay relatively stable and that there's discounts for, you know, if you really are dedicated and loyal to a brand.
And we do all those. And yeah. So, you know, we haven't taken a price increase this year. We won't take one next year.
I'm
very open in saying that for Botox.
Right.
We do have a loyalty program, Brilliant Distinctions, for consumers. We have a loyalty program for providers as well.
Definitely.
And I think our loyalty program is growing incredibly fast, but it will become, I think, even more meaningful as time goes by, because I do think that consumers want reverse loyalty. They want the brand to be loyal to them.
Mm-hmm. I also want you guys to contract to help women of all ages, because I do feel that some of the fillers in Botox are, you know, they're really effective in the youthful stages, like in your 30s, 40s, 50s, great. But as you get into your 60s, 70s, 80s, patients need much more volume to create mm-hmm. results. And so bigger syringes or, you know, maybe looking into products that create, you know, more of a non-surgical effect. I mean,
yeah,
I'm a surgeon. I love operating. But really, it's the non-surgical things that are getting popular these days.
It is. I think people are looking for non-invasive or minimally invasive treatments. And you're right. We do need to look for larger fillers and larger quantity of fillers.
Yeah.
The flip side is, as you can imagine in healthcare, nothing is as easy as it seems.
Right.
So changing a syringe is a multi-year regulatory experience and you know, tens of millions of dollars. So we are always doing those things, but it seems
gradual.
So simple in theory, but you look at something and you say, why isn't that a little larger? Why isn't the configuration just a little different? Or why isn't the size of the Kybella vial bigger? You know, you'd have to put a vial up, as an example, for 2 years and study the stability of the product in the vial on a daily basis before the FDA would approve the new vial size.
So it sounds like it's an FDA problem that we need to re-ramp
and
revise.
I think they're doing the right thing. It's about safety. It's about putting patients first.
Yeah.
And so, you know, things that you would do in common sense in a mm-hmm. in a beauty business are not necessarily the same rules that apply to approved pharmaceutical or device products.
I've often thought that you guys should come up with a computer program that takes a picture of you when you're 20. And is able to map out the facial volumes, and then each year assess a difference in volume change and like quantify what changed in the cheeks and the jaw and how much volume do I need to add back. Like, that can't be that hard. You could do that, right?
Absolutely, we could do that.
Yeah,
that's a great
let's
idea.
Do that. I really want to do that.
All right, we'll do it together.
Okay, let's do that. How cool, like, that is the future. That's the Star Trek beauty, where we scan your face at 20 and then every, you know, get your checkup, get your beauty checkup once a year and see where your volumes are changing. Like, I wouldn't mind staying 30.
I think it's brilliant. Absolutely. I'm going to look into that and get back.
I think that that's something we could easily do.
Yeah. See, this was the spark of that.
That's right.
Wonderful idea.
All right. Write me in on that.
All right. Done.
Well, just in closing, I wanted to ask you a couple fun questions. So
these are the scariest ones now.
Oh, really? No, I'm going to make them good. You travel a lot, and I travel just a little, and I'm always wiped out and exhausted from those trips. So what are your great travel tips? And, like, what do you do to stay skinny, healthy, eat right?
Yeah, so I'll give you the two things that I do somewhat religiously.
Yeah.
As soon as I step foot on the plane, uh-huh. I set my watch to the time of where I'm going.
Okay.
And I try to change my habits to that time. So if I step on the plane and it's midnight where I'm going, I'm going to bed.
Okay.
If I step on the plane and it's 8 a.m. where I'm going, I'm staying awake at all costs, even if I'm really tired.
Right.
So I try to use the plane time to do the time adjustment.
Okay.
And so that's an efficient use of that time. The second thing I do if I'm traveling is I go to the gym every morning.
That's good.
No matter what.
That's like religion. You got to do it.
Get an hour in every morning, no matter what. The only times I cheat are when mm-hmm. I'm sleeping at home from working out.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things have.
And then eating right, you probably go to a million wonderful restaurants.
I do, and I'm not as disciplined about that as I would like. I'm good at breakfast and lunch, and I don't snack.
Yeah.
But dinners, I tend to
enjoy
be more
life.
Relaxed and I'm generally more social at a dinner, particularly when traveling.
Right.
And so I tend to be a little less focused on diet. But I'm getting better. I'm trying to order plain fish and other things like that.
Oh, good. What would be your desert island injectable if you had to take one thing?
Voluma.
Oh, okay. I might take Botox.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, can't you tell me, but can't you can achieve some wrinkle reduction and
with so Voluma too. Yeah, volume. About. Volume is
Plus
probably better long-term.
Plus, I have to do the injection every 18, 24 months.
That's right. Do you take vitamins?
I do take some vitamins. Uh-huh. I take, someone gave me like 3 years ago from the company, I think it's called Nutrafol.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. So I do take that.
Okay.
And I take a, what is it, curcumin? For
oh,
inflammation, because
yeah.
I run
turmeric.
Yeah,
that's good
turmeric.
For you. Yeah,
yeah, for the anti-inflammatory. I've been doing that for about a year.
That's good. How about collagen powder? A lot of patients.
No, I've never tried that.
No, you guys should branch out into that too. There needs to be some good research on like collagen pills or collagen powder.
Yeah,
that
I wonder if it works
one.
If you ingest it.
Right? I mean, you have to ingest a really large quantity right. to get it through your GI tract into your skin, but yeah.
Right. You probably. Know, that's another thing. I always tell people, you know, your whole body is designed to keep these things out of your body.
Yeah, right.
Right? Your skin is designed to keep things out.
Yes.
Your GI tract is designed to keep things out. So getting things to actually absorb in your body, like vitamins, is not as simple as you think.
It's not. Are you more a morning person or evening person?
I'm both. I like to be awake. I'm not a sleeper.
Yeah.
I'm one of those weird people that people get angry at because I'm happy in the morning, I'm happy at night. I mean, people
yeah.
find that very annoying, to be honest.
Yeah, it takes me a while to warm up in the morning.
Yeah, I have no problem. I wake up ready to go.
How do you deal with the bazillion emails you must get in a day?
You know,
do you have a person devoted to just email?
Yeah, no, I do.
Need that.
Just for the record, I do all my own emails, all my own texts, all my own social media.
You're doing all your own Instagram, right?
I do all my own Instagram. Sometimes I get people to help
Good
with the
job.
Picture or the photography, but I actually do all the posting and liking myself
yeah.
and responding all myself. I do all the tweeting myself. And I think you have to. I think it has to be authentic. And I also believe that if someone took the time to email you, you should email them back. So
yes.
with very few exceptions because of some crazy travel or being on an airplane and not having... I try to reply to every email within 24 hours.
Wow,
and
that's impressive.
I'm not perfect, but I do a pretty good job at it.
That's great. Yeah. Well, I really congratulate you on all the strides you've made so far, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Allergan has planned for us in the future. You
well,
think you'll stay with
back.
This company for a long, long, long time?
Well, I just had my 5th year anniversary.
Yes.
And I'm, you know, in my late 40s,
mm-hmm.
And so hopefully this is my last job. Hopefully I'm here for another 10 years or so, and
yeah.
that's my last job.
I think
love what
can,
I do. So.
You can leave a huge mark on the world, actually. You know, yeah. this is like, we are the test generation in a lot of ways for the aesthetic industry. Like our moms and grandmoms had oil of Olay
right.
and Pond's cream for their faces, and we have so much more to do. So it's very interesting how you and I are going to help shape, you know, the future, and I want to make sure we shape it responsibly and
I fully agree.
Artistically, and you know, just I think you're going to help do that.
Well, I hope so, and I just want to say this is my first time ever doing a podcast.
Yay!
So I'm so excited about it. I hope you have me back to do it again.
I would love to have you back to do it again. And I taught you how to do your first boomerang too, in case you forgot.
You did. You taught me my yeah. first boomerang, my first podcast. What's next?
That's right. Well, our beauty, we got to do our Star Trek beauty mapping device.
That's right. So that'll be our next thing. Absolutely.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the podcast today. And for all of our listeners who want to find you out there, where can they find you?
Well,
your
my Instagram is Brent L. Saunders. My Twitter is Brent Saunders.
Yeah.
So just the name.
There you go. And look forward to lots more pioneering advancements in the field ahead.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Brent.
Thank you, Dr. K.
Thanks. And thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. You can find me on my Instagram doing amazing things with people's faces. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y, and my website is the same. And don't forget to try my amazing skincare. Brent, I'm going to send you home with some nice lip plumpers for your lovely ladies at your family.
Wonderful.
Yay.
They'll love it.
Stay beautiful. Bye, everybody.